Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
One of the end zone punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. That's how you talk with us for the next 60 minutes about the Giants, the NFL, and of course the NFL Draft. Coming your way now in under a week, John Schmelk joined by Lance Meadow. And of course, yesterday you saw the Giants meeting the media in mass for the first time in 2015. Jerry Reese spoke first, then you got a number of players coming up and speaking as well. Before we get to Tony Pauline from Draft Insiders, we want to touch on a couple of these items the next couple of minutes. Tony Pauline will join us at 12:05. He covers the draft for DraftInsiders.net, does a great job, and he'll be on with us in just a minute or two. Lance, as usual, Jerry Reese holding the cards close to the vest. Not a whole lot. The only guy he talked about specifically, he was asked about Brandon Scherff, said he saw him as a guard and as a tackle, and he stressed best player available, 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 best player available. Position doesn't matter.
I would say that summed up everything. I don't know if we need to cover any other angle. And that's been the Giants' philosophy for many, many years. So there's nothing necessarily new. There was no curveballs that were thrown yesterday. The Giants are going to go after the best player available, as John laid out beautifully, and that could include an offensive lineman. That could include a wide receiver. It could include a linebacker. I mean, certainly there's a variety of different positions. I think what Jerry Reese emphasized, though, in all seriousness, John, yesterday, was the fact that where the Giants are selecting at number 9, they anticipate they are going to get a quality player. They're going to get a difference maker regardless of the position.
And when we're done with Tony Pauline from Draft Insiders, we will touch on what the players discussed yesterday. There are some things there first, but we talk about Jerry Reese. He'll be the guy making the final decisions on who the Giants draft. And let's talk to Tony Pauline about who the Giants might draft. He'll be joining us in just a minute or so right here on Giants.com. Until we get Tony up, Lance, a couple of the players that did speak yesterday, both of us were kind of struck at the amount of confidence Nat Burhaes seemed to have. You know, being the guy that a lot of people are looking at to be the starting safety next year, he seems to really believe in his heart of hearts that he's ready to go and he's going to be a factor for the Giants next year at safety.
I mean, I'm reading into his words, but John, I feel he's got a chip on his shoulder, and one of his best comments was the fact that if he didn't know how to play, he wouldn't be here. So,
yeah,
you know, he's going to be motivated come training camp this year.
And I wouldn't, you know, people making a big deal about, you know, the defensive coordinator stuff that he brought up. I wouldn't. That's in the past, folks. You're moving forward, Steve Spagnuolo. That's all that really matters. There's no reason to rehash last year. Same for something that Princey Mukamara said that the media made a big deal about. It's just one of those situations where, guys, look, those things happened before. We know at times there were miscommunications between Prince, Stevie Brown, Entre Owen in the secondary. We talked about it on the show a million times, so I wouldn't take too much out of that either.
Well, you have to understand, Prince was asked a question about, is he concerned about building chemistry with some of the young, inexperienced safeties, such as Cooper Taylor and Nat Burhaes. So it's natural for him to respond, yes, it's going to take time, and he used last year
right.
as an example to say, hey, John, even when I work with veterans, sometimes the communication is not necessarily on the same page.
It was an innocent comment, and
correct.
The people that are blowing it up, I think, you know, clearly, we haven't heard from these guys in 3 months. People want something to write about, so I get it.
They need headlines.
But there's not a whole lot, I don't think, came out of yesterday that really caught people by surprise, unless you're very interested in Justin Pugh's dog, Murphy, which he had a lot of good information about.
Well, I jokingly threw out on Twitter, I don't know if you know, Jeff Schwartz has a Twitter handle for his dog. So I think it's time for Justin Pugh to step up his game. That would be my message, my takeaway.
Prince has two dogs that he often features on Instagram. Mark Herzlick has two bulldogs. So Giants a big dog team.
Man's best friend.
And they'll be trying to find a guy with that dog attitude in the draft.
Look at
and
you in the transition.
You like that
beautifully
one, huh?
Executed.
And we'll talk to this guy, Tony Pauline from Draft Insiders, and we'll see if we can figure out who that's going to be. Tony, we talk to you every year. I caught up with you at the Combine. It's good to hear from you. You're getting into the home stretch here, getting ready for this draft, huh?
That's crazy. I mean, the news comes in. You got to filter in what is legitimate, what's just smoke out there, and double check and sometimes recheck, and then got guys like you calling me wanting a piece of me all the time. But that's okay. It's going to happen for the next week and a half. And then by next Sunday, a week from Sunday, no one will care about me. No one will want to know my name or phone won't ring. So I guess I better take advantage of it now.
Well, Tony, if you didn't have so much good information and bring so much energy, I wouldn't be knocking on your door. So let's get to it. What are you hearing? And from what you're hearing, what do you think might be legit? Because as we all know, this is smokescreen and lying season in the NFL.
It absolutely is. And, I mean, the hot name right now is Marcus Mariota, as it should be. I mean, there are a lot of teams that want him. I think the outside media was sleeping on this guy. He's a terrific pro prospect at the all-important quarterback position. So there's a lot of intrigue there. You know, does Tampa Bay take him with the number one pick over Jameis Winston? If he falls to number two, does Tennessee take him? And if he doesn't, you know, who does Tennessee trade that pick to? Do they trade it to Cleveland? Do they trade it to a team that wants to use Cleveland as a stepping stone to maneuver up there, such as the San Diego Chargers or Philadelphia Eagles? That's a story to watch. Shane Ray, the initial reports are not as bad as what was initially stated yesterday. There are some teams that are concerned about his toe. There are other teams, you know, who aren't really all that concerned, think that he can just rehab it and be ready for the season. Be interesting to see how far that he falls. And then there's Randy Gregory. I mean, does Randy Gregory stay in the first round? I happen to think he's going to pull out of the first round.
Wow.
Could be a second or third round choice. So that's going to be a story to watch.
Now, speaking of Randy Gregory, Tony, is that a result of the off-the-field issues, or is that something that you're seeing on film with respect to his game?
Completely off the field. On film, he is a legitimate top eight selection. People know about the failed drug test at the combine. It goes a little bit deeper than that, the things that haven't been reported. You know, he's a terrific football player. There's just some troubles, not bad things, not illegal things, but there are just some troubles off the field which have sent up a lot of red flags, really, for a couple of months now.
Wow, so if he puts it together off the field, he could be an absolute value steal for somebody, end of the first round, second round, if he does indeed drop that far. Tony, from what you're hearing, and I don't need you to list all eight guys, but who do you know in your heart of hearts is going to be off the board before the Giants pick at number nine?
Well, obviously, both quarterbacks.
Okay.
Both quarterbacks, Mariota and Winston. Both receivers, Amari Cooper, Kevin White.
Okay.
Absolutely, Leonard Williams. Brandon Fowler, obviously. Then it gets a little bit hazy. I mean, you know, do the Jets take a chance on Brandon Scherff? If he doesn't, he could be there for the Giants. Vic Beasley is a hot name. There's a team like New Orleans Saints who I hear really like Vic Beasley, and they have two first-round picks. If he starts to slide, you know, could they make a move up to get Vic Beasley? So I think, you know, we know who the six are, just a matter of who's number seven and who's number eight, which is in question right now.
Now, Tony, I noticed on your site you're also pretty high on Andrews Pete in terms of the offensive linemen. Compare Pete versus Scherff to me in terms of upside, and perhaps who do you think is going to make a jump over one another when it comes to at least the top 10 picks?
I think Scherff is the more polished prospect. He's the guy that's got the least amount of downside risk. He's also, when you compare him to Pete, he's a guy that's versatile. He can play both guard spots. He can play left tackle. He also, I believe, can play right tackle in a pinch. Only position he can't play on the offensive line is center. Andres Pete has got the greater upside. He may have more bumps in the road early in his NFL career, but he can be the better left tackle at the next level, and that's always a priority position come draft day.
Now, you said you believe Scherff can play both tackle and guard, right tackle in a pinch. So you would say whoever picks him, he'll likely, I know it depends on the team, obviously, the Giants have flexibility to play him at right tackle or left guard if they do make that pick because they can move Justin Pugh around. You project him, if, for example, the Giants do select him at nine, do you see him at left guard for the Giants in his first year or at right tackle?
No, I think he's probably better off at guard. He'll be more of an impact player at guard. I say right tackle on a pinch, and if your right tackle goes down, I don't think anyone's going to draft him as a right tackle, though I think he could play there. But if your right tackle goes down and you don't want to go to your number two man on your depth chart, or he may be your number two man on the depth chart at the right tackle position because he's got that versatility. He's got a well-rounded game, fundamentally sound, excellent body of work at Iowa, a lot to like about him.
Now, Tony, a lot of people will say, oh, you got to pick one of the prime position spots in nine. You can't pick a guy that's going to play guard. What type of impact? Because all Giant fans want a guy that's going to have a big impact in year one. How can a guy like Scherff, if you plug him in at guard in his rookie year, for example, in your scenario, how can he impact the Giants' offensive line, their running game, and therefore their entire offense?
You know, you're trying to keep Eli Manning upright. You're trying to really conserve Eli Manning for as long as possible. You want him to be your quarterback. How do you do that? You do that with good offensive linemen. You do that with proper blocking. And that's the funny thing with Scherff. He on my board is the number six player in this draft, but he doesn't play, as you said, you say impact positions. He doesn't play those sexy positions. He's yeah. not a quarterback. He's not a mouthy defensive lineman that's making all these predictions. He doesn't have all these off the great field stories. All he is a guy who for 3 years came and kicked everybody's rear end at left tackle at Iowa, which is a priority position. Getting back to your question, you know, how does he cause an impact? Well, he keeps people off of Eli Manning. He opens up holes for the running game. You know what? It may not be great on the stat sheets that the people, you know, the fantasy football players and everybody else wants, but in the coach's room when they're watching the tape, guess who's getting the pats on the back? The offensive linemen, guys like Brandon Scherff, who are doing their job to keep the offense moving the ball down the field.
Talking with Tony Pauline, who covers the draft for NFLDraftInsider.net. Tony, you mentioned that Marcus Mariota obviously is the hot name, that teams could be moving up to grab him. Who else, in your mind, that could go before the Giants at number 9, would a team potentially trade up to the top 8 to grab, other than perhaps a quarterback?
Yeah, the only guy I'm hearing right now that could be in play is Vic Beasley. I know Rob Ryan of New Orleans Saints absolutely loves him. If somebody gets antsy and they get a beat that the Giants may take Andres Pete, assuming that Brandon Scherff is off the board, I can see potentially a team like the St. Louis Rams hop-stepping over the Giants to get Andres Pete. I haven't heard that specifically, but I do hear the Rams like Pete, and Pete is a pretty hot name on the offensive line right now.
So you see Pete generally as a much better prospect than the next group of tackles, the Eric Flowers, the DJ Humphreys, those types of guys. Lael Collins, I'll throw in that mix as well.
I think he fits that mold. Is he that much better? He's slightly better. He's in that mold in the sense that his best football is probably 2 or 3 years down the road. He can play as a rookie, but there are going to be some lapses on the field. The guys you just mentioned, the Flowers, DJ Humphreys, those are guys who are solid prospects now. Proper NFL techniques, proper NFL coaching, weight training program could be very good down the road. And he's the top of all those guys you mentioned. A huge spread. I don't think there's a huge spread, but it's big enough that, you know, you're going to want to take him earlier on.
Last year, Tony, wide receiver, tremendous depth at that position, and it was showcased all the way throughout the course of the draft. This year, you mentioned you believe White and Cooper probably going to go within the top 10. Then you get to the next cluster of wide receivers. How much is the drop-off number 1, and where would you put a guy like Devontae Parker after the Whites and the Coopers of the world?
Yeah, only about a handful of picks. So if Kevin White is in that 5, 6, 7 range, Devontae Parker's not that far off. If the Cleveland Browns don't make a trade, I can see the Cleveland Browns using their first selection on Devontae Parker. He's not as big as Kevin White. He's not as quick or fast as Amari Cooper, but he's consistent. He's a very good underneath receiver. He goes up. He wins out for those contested passes. He fights to come away with the ball. He's a physical wideout. He's the bigger, stronger wideout that teams want. But he just doesn't have that great elite downfield speed. That's okay, but when you got faster receivers, they're going to go earlier than you.
We're joined by Tony Pauline, DraftInsider.net. Tony, want to talk about for a moment the top cornerback on most people's boards, Trey Waynes. I saw a very interesting critique. I've seen a lot of positive stuff, but one critique I saw of his the other day is that people are very concerned about his change of direction and lateral quickness. His shuttle time at the combine wasn't very strong. Do you see that as a potential issue, or as a bump and run outside corner or a cover two corner, is that maybe not as much of a concern as it would be for other players?
Well, I think that Trey Waynes is being overrated right now. He's the number one corner on the board, but he's the guy, he's the player who, as far as I'm concerned, projects as a bottom third of round one guy. The change of direction is a concern, as the fact that he does a lot of face guarding. He's very slow, and that sort of turn gets into that change of direction. You know, being able to get your head back around, swivel your hips back around, but keep moving forward at full speed. There's a lot of face guarding on the college level, which is a dangerous intangible when you go to play Sunday football. You can't be face guarding. If you can't make plays with your back to the ball, you're going to get beat a lot, and that's what I see in Trey Waynes. He's very good. He's a terrific athlete. He runs like the wind. He's got a great amount of upside, but he's not the sure knockout cornerback that I believe a lot of people are projecting him to be.
Well, Tony, with that being said, then, who in your mind is the must-have cornerback in this year's class?
Two guys who I like, who I think are underrated, both are seniors. Kevin Johnson out of Wake Forest, sort of built like Trey Waynes in a sense that he's tall, but he's a little bit thin. He's fast. He's got a great body of work behind him. He can play bump and run cover. He can play man off. He can play in zone. He's physical. He's aggressive. Very polished. I think he made a mistake by not going to the Senior Bowl. Has been consistent throughout his Wake Forest career in a program that's really been going downhill. Coming into the season, scouts rated Kevin Johnson as the 24th best senior prospect in the nation. And really, he's not coming off a bad senior season. So there's really, he's one of those guys who's kind of under the radar. And the other guy who I like a lot, who's moving up draft boards, would be Byron Jones of UConn, a kid just north of where we're talking from now. I mean, a guy who's big and physical, terrific athlete, as you saw at the combine, ran 4.36 at the during his pro day. People say he's just a workout warrior. That's a bunch of bull. But one thing I do is I watch these players throughout their career. Jones had a shoulder injury last year, and part of the problem was no one threw it in his direction as a senior because they knew if the pass wasn't going to get picked off, he was going to deflect the pass away. He was that good, so why waste it down? You go back to his junior film when he was healthy and he was being challenged. No one could get a pass past him. So I think Kevin Johnson of Wake Forest and Byron Jones of UConn are two really good cornerbacks that have got a polished game and got a good amount of upside.
Now, another cornerback that you haven't mentioned is Marcus Peters, who I've seen projected to go in round one. Earlier, you mentioned Randy Gregory's falling down draft boards because of his off-the-field concerns. What about Peters? Peters has just as many off-the-field concerns as well as his overall demeanor on the field. How much has that impacted where you're seeing or where you're hearing he's going to be projected to go?
Well, I still think there's a good chance because he plays the cornerback position that he goes late in round one. You know, the off-the-field issues are a concern, although the Washington coaches have kind of welcomed him back and are now starting to say, you know, not so many mean things about him, if you will. They're not really killing him, the NFL coaches. So the NFL teams are going to have to decide if they're going to take the chance on him. But Peters himself is very unpolished in his game. I mean, he's got a lot of technique work that he has to improve upon before he's ready to play Sunday football on a consistent basis. Had he been able to finish out his senior season, had he been able to go to the Senior Bowl and really show scouts his skills, he's probably the number one cornerback and improve on his skills. He's probably the number one cornerback moving towards next Thursday's first round and would have been a top 15 pick. The way I see it right now, if he's a first-round pick, it's going to be in that last half-dozen selections.
One guy I've seen all over draft boards, Tony, is Bud Alvin Dupree out of Kentucky. I've seen a couple guys have him in their top 10. I see other guys have him going to 25. A raw guy, he's played the 4-3 end. He's played 3-4 linebacker, rushing the passer, even played some coverage last year at Kentucky. How do you view Alvin Bud Dupree?
Well, and just to build upon your point, there's a lot of disparity in war rooms around the league. I mean, I happen to like him, and I'll get into that in a second, but there have been some teams that have compared him to me to Aaron Curry, who was a massive first-round flop, a great athlete, but just didn't project
well. Shakes?
I like Bud Dupree because of many of the things you said. He's a forceful player. He's an explosive player. He's very sudden. He shows up on the scene out of nowhere, causes an impact. As you said, he can play end in a 4-3. Of all the edge rushers that we talk about, the Dante Fowlers, the Shane Rays, the Randy Gregorys, Bud Dupree was the only guy who was listed as a linebacker at the combine. So combine officials, National Invitational Scouting, believes that he has the athleticism basically to play in a 3-4 or 4-3 outside linebacker. That shows you the amount of athleticism. I think the thing with Dupree is somebody's got a lot of fire underneath him. He's got to play up to his level of ability on an every down basis. And the fact that he didn't seem to do it for 2 years at Kentucky scares some people.
Tony, I'm looking at your rankings on DraftInsider.net. You have Danny Shelton and Malcolm Brown essentially neck and neck. And the Giants could perhaps look at a defensive lineman. I've seen Shelton in the top 10 in some mock drafts. What is the differences between two of these guys, or do you really see them that close in terms of their skill set?
Danny Shelton's a very good player, but to me, he's one-dimensional. He's a guy who basically puts his head down and just rushes up the field. He doesn't show a lot of moves. If you watch extensive film on Shelton, for every one or two great plays he makes, there'll be two or three plays where he'll be handled at the point of attack by a single blocker.
Wow.
The fact is, we saw that at the Senior Bowl. At the Senior Bowl, Ali Marpet stoned him in one-on-one drills on a number of occasions. Malcolm Brown's a little bit different. Malcolm Brown's a good technician. He moves a little bit better laterally. necessarily. He's not as strong as Danny Shelton. He's not going to get that upfield bull rush, collapse the pocket. But what he does well is you can loop him, you can twist him, you can stunt him. He also has a good amount of strength and a good amount of upside. I like Shelton, but he's a bit one-dimensional. The conditioning is an issue. You know, he was all happy that he was under 350 pounds at the Senior Bowl. He's going to have to get that weight down even more. I think Malcolm Brown is got a wider range of skills that are just not as refined when you compare him to Shelton.
All right, I want to kind of dip down here, Tony. We're joined by Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. Where do you think there's going to be value when the Giants pick in round two? In terms of position, player, if you want to go there, I know it's obviously very difficult to know who's going to be on the board.
Right.
But where do you think the Giants could find some value when they pick in the second round?
Well, the first area would be running back. I don't know if they want to go in that direction, but you're going to have a very good clump of running backs that I think will be there. Possibly Tevin Coleman if he doesn't squeak into the late part of round one. T.J. Yeldon of Alabama. I know Alabama running backs have not done all that well. But a lot of scouts are very high on T.J. Yeldon. Running back is one position. Obviously, receiver, although it's not a big need for the Giants, you're going to have a good amount of receivers there. Maybe Aguilar slides to them. Sammy Coates of Auburn. Devin Smith of Ohio State will be there. Doriel Green Beckham is going to be there. Maybe they want a bigger guy if they want to roll the dice on him, although I know that's not the Giants' way. And you'll still have a good amount of offensive linemen there. You know, Cedric Aboué of Texas A&M, the left tackle, highly rated guy who didn't play well during his senior season, although he had a knee injury, then tore a ligament during the team's bowl game. You know, he's the type of guy that you select him somewhere in the top half of round two, and you're patient with him. You let him get back to playing form. You let that knee heal properly. You could have one of the steals of the draft because you've got a tremendous pass-blocking left tackle who fell because of injury.
Tony, you mentioned some running backs. You mentioned some wide receivers. If you look over the list of needs, safety certainly jumps off the top of the list when you evaluate the current Giants roster. Is there a safety that you could see perhaps being great value in round two when the Giants come around to select, or is that a position where you should wait until you get later on in the draft?
Yeah, it's a two-deep class at safety. You got Landon Collins of Alabama, Demarius Randall of Arizona State. Randall being the fast riser, and understandably so, because he's got a more complete game than Landon Collins. He's great against the pass. He's good against the run. Doesn't have the great size, though. I think both of those guys will be off the board by the time the Giants are called to the clock in round two. After that, the talent really falls off. I mean, you're talking maybe James Sample of Louisville in the third round, Ibrahim Campbell of Northwestern in the third or fourth round, although Campbell's a bit one-dimensional. Kid in the fourth round by the name of Chris Hackett out of TCU. Great football player, tremendous ball skills, very solid against the run, but he can't run well. He ran in the 4.8s at the combine, improved to a 4.7s during his pro day. But he's great, quick in between the ears. He diagnoses plays before they happen. So really, it's a two-player draft at the safety position, and I don't think either of those prospects will be available to the Giants in round two.
All right, Tony, give me a couple names of some sleepers you like on day three where teams can pull the trigger in rounds 4, 5, or 6 and come home with a guy that you think might have second or third round value down the road.
Well, here's a guy, you know, for Giant fans to keep an eye on. Small school defensive back, cornerback, can also play some safety. Trey Walker out of Texas Southern, and we know the Giants have had success out of that program in the past. Guy's 6'1", 214 pounds, was a shutdown cornerback, very explosive, ran the high 4.4s during his pro day, shows good ball skills, needs some fundamental work. But if you draft him in the fifth or sixth round, you put him on the field in nickel or dime packages, and then you kind of develop him for the future, you're going to have a good player there. Receiver Jackson Shipley out of Texas. He's small. He doesn't run well for the stopwatch, but all the guy does is make catches everywhere, over the middle of the field, up in a crowd, down the field. Great football player, not a fantastic athlete who they will be able to get in the last day of the draft. And if they're looking for some tight end depth, get local kid Gene Shiffrin out of Massachusetts. He's going to be 27 years old, which has shied some teams off, and he ran in the high 4.7s at the combine, but he's 6'5 and change. He catches the ball like a big possession receiver on the field. You watch the UMass film, all he did was run go routes, and he would get down the secondary, create mismatches, and come away with the pass. Again, the guy who's a really good football player, but not a great athlete. That's what you get in the late rounds. You get guys who, you know, don't have those great measurables, don't run that great 40, but are good football players and can be your fourth or fifth receiver, can be your third tight end, can be your dime back special teams player.
All right, Tony, we're within a week of the draft, so I'm willing to now ask this question that I've avoided for a month. Who are the Giants picking at number 9? Give me your prediction before we let you go.
Well, based on my track history, which hasn't been good with the first round, I've been good with some of the other rounds as far as Giants are concerned. I'm going to say, from what I'm hearing now, overall, I'm going to go with Andres Pete. Fills a need. Good player for now as well as the future. If Brandon Scherff's not there, and I don't think he's going to be there, and that's the favorite pick for, it seems, for the Giants, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to say Andres Pete of Stanford.
Well, you know what? If you have better success predicting second, third, or middle round picks, if you have one or two of those, I'm more than happy to listen.
Well, we had the center last year from Colorado State, right?
Yeah.
Devin Kennard, so, but I'm not going to go out on a limb on that one right yet.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, Tony.
All right, take care.
Tony Pauline, I always have fun with him coming on, draftinsider.net. And I think, you know, a lot of times you hear people mimic each other a lot. I think Tony gave us some different stuff there. You know, a lot of people are very high on Trey Waynes. And the reason I asked that question is because if you take a look at Pro Football Focus, they've started doing a lot of their college football focus stuff with, you know, players and their full profiles. They are actually very tough on Waynes. They said, we worry about his change of direction. We worry about his lateral quickness. And those are the same type of things that Tony talked about. Also, very handsy in college. Commits a lot of pass interference. Tony talked about face guarding a lot. One and the same. So I thought it was very interesting that he saw maybe some of the things that Pro Football Focus did when they took a look at some of him on tape.
And if you look at the nature of the league where corners are being put under the microscope because of how they can't get up in the grill of a wide receiver, you don't want to bring in a player who's going to hurt you in the penalty department. That's why he was much higher on Kevin Johnson and Byron Jones, specifically the local prospect out of UConn, who did get hurt towards the latter part of the 2014 season. But his combine numbers, John, were off the charts. He was very impressive in that department.
Correct. The one thing, too, about Waynes and his combine numbers, his shuttle time was actually slower than his 40 time, which is something that doesn't happen a whole lot, which is why there's concern about the side-to-side quickness. Again, everyone's going to have different opinions here, guys. Analyzing players is an art. It's not a science. So there's no way to say I'm right no matter what. Everyone's going to see some different things. I thought that was interesting. And a full disclosure, by the way, was Pro Football Focus, which now they have their College Football Focus subpage. They also not high on Brandon Scherff. Now, they just graded his 2014 tape. And remember, he played with that knee injury the whole year, too. He had surgery in week two. Didn't miss a week after arthroscopic surgery, came back and played with it, and they were grading him as a left tackle. So not really projecting him as guard, they were grading him as a left tackle, so maybe that could have some effect on how they graded him, but they also had him as one of their more overrated prospects, which I thought was interesting.
Well, and we just heard from Tony, he's high on Pete.
Yeah.
Now, he thinks Sheriff's going to be off the board by the time the Giants select, so that's another reason why he thinks Pete would be a good fit for the Giants, but we've heard various opinions from different people who are really honing in on the draft over the last few weeks on this program. And, you know, as John just mentioned, it's not an exact science. This is why you get opinions all across the board, even from people who are studying the film, maybe even in more detail than Paul Dottino.
Well, that's not possible.
I don't know.
Not in his own mind, at least.
Well, that's a different story. I mean, we're not going to have a psychological breakdown of Paul Dottino on this program right now. If you want to go that far, John, I think he takes the cake in that department.
You missed our conversation about the schedule breakdown, by the way. We'll get to your calls later, guys, in a second at 201-939-4513.
This is going to get
you good. Notice when we're playing in New Orleans, right?
Well, now I do.
November 1st.
Okay.
What's the night before?
Halloween.
Halloween in New Orleans.
Oh,
boy. Dottino's a little worried about that. But I said to him,
he's worried about that.
Yeah, no, he's very concerned. But he said last time we were there, this guy was dressed up like a vampire and, like, accosted him. So now he's very concerned about what it's going to be like on Halloween. And I said, Paul, you should be happy. This is the one day of the year you can walk around like a maniac and everyone's going to think you're the normal one.
That's a good point. Very very well executed
there. I said that, yeah. And he completely ignored me. I didn't even say it.
Because, you know, he's so focused in on the draft and everything, the late nights, the tapes in the VCR, the rewind, the fast forward. I mean, that really takes a toll on it.
I was so worn down yesterday. I turned on – I would watch the two early basketball games, by the way. I turned on the late one, and it was like 15 points – 8 minutes ago in the fourth, and you know what? I'm like, I'm really tired. I didn't sleep a lot the night before. I'm going to bed. Then I wake up this morning, and I saw a window.
It's the good one.
I know.
Yeah. Curry hit a great shot.
Well, I'd stayed up the night before to watch Spurs Clippers. And I
would, yeah.
And therefore, I got like 4.5 hours of sleep. I was out of gas.
Durability. You know, even
well, some of us have 9 to 5s.
You
know,
you're off the air, you got to build up the durability.
They don't live that luxurious life of Lance Meadow rolling out of bed whenever he wants with no care in the world. Not everybody's Lance. Sorry.
Well, listen, I have sacrificed my fair share.
Sacrifice.
So
yeah.
I'm used to that. I can survive on
the
2 or 3 hours.
We have Shakes on the line. He heard Aaron Curry.
Yeah,
I know.
You knew he was going
to
call.
We're not going to go to him first. He was the last one in. Sorry, Shakes. We'll get to you. But let's go to Vic in Florida. He's up first. Victor?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Victor.
You know, I'm getting so disgusted with these mock drafts that it's driving me nuts. I can't wait until next Thursday so we can get the real thing.
I agree.
But anyway, I've been looking at these different mock drafts, and these guys like Daniel Jeremiah, he's got Amari Cooper going at 9. Mike Mayock's got Andrew Speak going at 9. Charles Davis got Malcolm Brown going in 9. The only guy that makes sense to me is Mel Kiper. He's got Sheriff going in the first round, Shaq Thompson in the second, and Eric Rowe in the third. And I think that's a pretty good lineup. And I really believe that we're one offensive line away from being a damn good offensive line. What do you guys think?
Well, Vic, I think this offense is going to be very good regardless this year, but I do think if you add another excellent player on the offensive line, it'll balance things out a lot more. And, you know, you had it switch. Kiper, I think, had Rowan round 2 and Shaq Thompson around 3, but you had the players right. And here's the thing, Vic. Don't get frustrated by the mock drafts. And I had this conversation with Nita 2 weeks ago. I think now they're probably getting a little bit more accurate based on the sources, but as we said to Tony Pauline at the start of that spot, Lance, this is the time of year where all NFL general managers do is send out smoke screens and, frankly, lies about what they're going to do. So these reporters are put in a tough spot. They have to figure out what's real and what's not when they put their mock drafts together.
Because there's strategy behind that, Vic, in terms of maybe getting a team to offer you an entire smorgasbord of talent, so this way you can walk away with a tremendous amount of picks if you decide to maybe give up number 2 or number 3 overall. We're hearing, you know, speculation about the Chargers in Tennessee, the Browns in Tennessee. It's natural that GMs are going to start to get those feelers out there, and that's why mock drafts vary across the board.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, though. I will never trade up and give up the my mortgage for you got too much to lose when you trade up. Trading down maybe 2 or 3 spots and get more players, that I can see. But never trade up. That's
my take on that.
And, thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate it.
I'll be watching for you
guys. Sounds
good.
I appreciate the phone call. And piggybacking off of Vic's comment about is it worth trading up versus trading down, you know, look at a team within the division, the Washington Redskins, when a few years ago they tried to get RG3. They did obviously get him, but think about everything they had to give up to St. Louis, and now they're in a position where you don't have as many assets that you could throw out there to bring in young talent.
By the way, if you're interested, Giants.com, anchored by Dan Salamone, who keeps track of such things. We have our mock draft tracker. If you go to the Giants.com homepage, you can click on that banner at the top of the page, and you can check out all the most recent mock drafts. I think it's updated as much as it could. And, you know, there's a lot of Brandon Sheriffs there. There is a Randy Gregory there from Rob Rang. We'll have Rob Rang on Monday, by the way. I'll see if I can get off of that pick because I don't think that's something that's going to happen at 9. And we'll go from there. But if you want to check it out, there we go. It's on Giants.com, that top banner, our mock draft tracker. 201-939-4513. Chris in New Jersey is up next. Christopher, what's up?
Chris, you there?
Chris, going once.
Man, a very few
Chris
words.
Chris on line 4.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey Chris, what's up?
What's happening?
I've called a few times, and I've mentioned some names in the past, and like Parker, like the wide receivers, like Mike Brown. I'm glad that Parker and Brown are still in the conversation here for me personally. I'm also a believer, as I emphasized before, guys, that I think we can get an offensive lineman in the second round. As I've been hearing lately, as all this has been developing, you know, offensive linemen have been moving down in the draft, coming to the lower first round into the second round. I think we can really get a real good one in the second round.
Yeah, but Chris, just hold on 1 second. I want to pony up on what Tony Pauline said. I think you can get a good offensive lineman in the second round, but he might not be good right away. It might take a year or two to work with this guy to develop him into a very good lineman. You might not get him stepping in year 1 and being that type of difference-making player. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, and if we get lucky enough to get Lincoln Tomlinson in the second round, he's one of the nastiest run blockers in the league.
That is true. So, I agree with that.
And he also has to have a pass like a guy get by him in 2 years in college. And Lincoln Tomlinson did throw around Gregory in the Nebraska game, okay? So I think the guy has a shot to get to us. And I'm hoping that he's the guy, really. But I do agree with what you're saying, okay? On the other side of the coin, linebacker, I really think that a linebacker probably for us, we're talking Mites and Wills and everything else, there really isn't much out there as far as what we play. Probably not going to be able to get somebody maybe in the fourth round, maybe. So probably cornerback for us maybe in the third round, maybe, John and Lance. What do you think?
Well, I think it depends on who's around in terms of that position. You know, you threw out the name Rowe, who's more of a safety, you have to keep in mind.
And he's going to be off the board in the second round.
Correct. I don't think he's going to be around.
I meant safety. I'm sorry.
Oh, you meant safety. Okay. Safety, well, listen, I'm going based on what I just asked Tony moments ago, Chris, and Tony was not very high on the depth at safety after the first two go. He felt it was basically a two-horse race. So if you get those guys off the board by the time the Giants, let's say, pick at number two, you can't reach for that position, even though you may want to add another player or two for depth purposes. So maybe you wait for somebody to fall to you in round five or round six, or you look at some undrafted free agents or some other free agents that are still out on the market.
Okay, I do seem to still disagree with him based on Parker in the first round compared to the other Cooper. And I know I'm being redundant here a little bit, but they're pretty close. You know, Parker does run a 4.45.
Well, Chris,
6.3.
And you know, I don't mean to cut you off.
Too,
Tony,
and he
though,
has a catch radius that he had like the other guys have.
Well, Chris, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for waiting.
Thanks, Chris.
Tony was high on Parker.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't say that there was a tremendous amount of drop-off.
Oh, he said about 4 or 5 picks.
So, I mean, that's nothing to me.
No.
I don't really consider that a huge disparity. So, you know, while Chris was emphasizing the fact he thinks Parker's in that same boat, right after Cooper and White go, we may see 4 or 5 picks later, all of a sudden Parker's off the board.
Hey, look, right now, guys, honestly, I could list realistically in my head, and again, I don't know what they're doing upstairs. I don't know what the board looks like. Realistically in my head, I could see anywhere from 6 to 8 guys being the Giants pick at number 9 right now, depending on who's on the board. I could honestly see anywhere from 6 to 8 guys. And next week, Monday or Tuesday, what I'm planning on doing, I'll do like my own big board, which will kind of be like who I think the top 9 or 10 or 12 players are on the board if I'm the Giants. And it's going to be my opinion. Nothing to do with what they do upstairs.
The anticipation's killing me right now.
No, trust me.
I'm glad you threw that out on Friday, because now Saturday and Sunday, the audience can at least really build themselves up for Monday's program. But continue.
Everyone's been asking me my pick, but I think it makes more sense, because you don't know who's going to be there, to rank the players the way you see them, and then you can judge off of that.
Sounds good. I like it.
All right.
I'm geared up.
201-939-4513. Back to the phone calls. Up next is Dwight in Florida. Dwight, thanks for calling us. What's going on?
Hey, hi. How are you doing, guys?
Doing well, Dwight. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. This is my first time calling.
Oh, thanks
and
for calling.
I'm an avid New York Giants fan.
Great. Welcome.
I've been watching football. They have been my team, and I love them very, very much. And, you know, that's the reason why I'm calling right now, because of this draft. I've seen someone that it's just my instincts. I've never believed in a player like this looked at Adrian Peterson. I felt this way about him. And I said, you know what? I have to call and let you guys know, whoever is listening, management or whatever, but this guy is very important for the New York Giants. And this is Shane Ray. I tell you something. The New York Giants, with their history, we have always been built on defense first. Our Super Bowls, everything that we have made ourselves to be, has always come from defense, most of it. LT is the type of player that we had. He was the best, no matter what anyone says. He was the best. And this guy, Shane Ray, if we pass the chance on getting this guy, trust me, guys, we will regret it. This guy has a high motor. He has a passion. His background, his history is one that says, I want to succeed no matter where I'm from, no matter what I've been through. I have to succeed. This guy will get it done for us.
Dwight.
I know. Yes.
Honestly, You are. I'm not sure if you're pumping me up or scaring me right now. You could literally be the voice double for Liam Neeson in those Taken movies. You're very serious. I'm very impressed.
I was going to ask if you're representing Shane Ray too on the side. I mean, I feel like this is the promotional video for Shane
Ray. He's like,
Ray,
if you do not take Shane Ray, you will regret it for the rest of your natural lives. That's great. I love
don't
it, Dwight.
Don't mean to scare you, guys. Don't mean to scare you. I'm sorry. Don't mean to scare y'all.
Hey, look, Dwight, you know what the thing about it, too? About a month ago, I'm not sure Shane Ray would have been there for the Giants. But now with the toe thing that's come out, and look, I don't know what the X-rays and MRIs look like. I don't know what the Giants think of his medical. Like, maybe the Giants think the medical's so bad he's not even on their board. Or maybe they think it's great and he's going to be fine. I have no idea what they think of him in terms of medical. And that's a huge part of this draft process. But look, he's a talented pass rusher. There's one knock I've heard on Shane Ray. Well, two, really. One, more of a 3-4 defensive end than a 4-3. I mean, a 3-4 linebacker than a 4-3 defensive end. Number two, he doesn't have a myriad of pass rush moves. He has a great first step. He has great quickness to get around the edge, but he doesn't have any real good counter pass rush moves once they cut off that corner from him. So those are the two knocks that I've heard on Shane Ray.
Sometimes, guys, sometimes you have to look at it like this. Sometimes a rookie comes out. He doesn't have everything, but this guy is trainable. That's his thing. He has the passion. You can't buy that. That is one thing you can't buy. We can pick rookies coming out of school sometimes, and yes, we tell them as the best or whatever, and whenever they don't enter the professional field, they drop off. But there are certain intangibles that you cannot really think about. Now, we have to understand one thing. Shane Ray, look at his past. This guy wants to prove something. This guy wants to prove that he is the best. He wants to be the best. We can train him up to be the best. It all depends on how we want to mold him. Now, we have to take that chance because of his injury. They say, yes, he's injured, but you know what? That will go away. Whatever we have to do, it will go away and he'll be better. But we can't pass up this chance. He's going to fall, but we can't make him fall too far. We've got to try and get him before anyone else does.
All right,
and you know what, personally? LT. This is the guy. I look at LT as my hero. He is the guy. He's a giant of all giants. And there's one other guy that will come inside here right now and build that defense. And that's Shane Ray.
All right, Dwight.
All right, Dwight.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
All right, sir.
And thank you for calling in. Welcome to the Big Blue Kickoff Live family. And if I ever need somebody to make a threatening phone call for me, you're my guy. You're absolutely my guy. You're it, Dwight.
Getting back on a serious note to what he was saying about Shane Ray, you know, he mentioned that the injury, you can look over, he's going to get healthy, we'll mold him into what we need. That was his exact line. But, you know, I think it gets back to the debate, John. At number nine, do you want a player that you have to mold?
Right.
Or do you want a player that's going to fit right in and boom, he's going to go to work? I mean, that would be my counter to some of the points that Dwight brought up. You get the ninth overall pick. And I'm not saying project for Shane Ray by no means, but if you're getting in the direction that this is the type of player, we got to make this tweak, we got to make that tweak, we have this concern, we have that question mark, he's got a great motor, he's got great passion, hey, that's fine. You want that out of a player. You want a good character guy. You just don't want to have to do so much movement in terms of the X's and O's. I would want a player who's already fitting right into my system, and I know that he can go to work immediately. So that's at least, I think, something that you need to take into consideration when you at least look at Shane Ray and whether or not he's an ideal fit for the Giants.
201-939-4513. He heard Aaron Curry. He picks up the phone. He shakes in Baltimore. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
I knew as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, Lord, they're going to say my name.
He did. Listen, John interrupted the interview. Tony was going on a tangent about some player, and, you know, we heard Aaron Curry, and boom, shakes. So there you go.
Hey, I'm glad I got that effect. I wanted to say something about that, though. When he said Bud Dupree, Aaron Curry comparisons, I disagree. I don't see any comparison. If it's any comparison, it's because of a high ceiling and, you know, he's maybe a little bit more raw. But that's about it because Bud Dupree is more instinctive and he got better technique. So I don't see where the comparison come with that.
Well, Shakes, let's be honest. You're not going to put anybody in Aaron Curry's class, okay? He is in a league of his own in your heart, and it would be an injustice for you to associate any other player with him. No, nobody poo-poos better than anybody in terms of that department, okay? Listen,
yeah, Curry's on my
Shakes, we know where you put him in your heart. And it would be unfair, as I mentioned on this program, to put any other player in that department. I think you're hurting yourself when you even mention anyone in that same category. I'm a little disappointed in you, to be honest with you.
I'm on board with everything Lance just said.
No, man. Like I said, man, Aaron Curry, I expected a lot from him coming into this team, and I thought he was going to show something, but he disappointed me. So he's on my poop list, so... When people compare him, I don't like the comparison, especially if I like the dude, and I like Bud Dupree. I wanted to say another thing. Oh, Tuesday is our 1-year anniversary for the Shakedown.
Okay.
So y'all are invited. I don't know y'all busy schedule or not, but y'all are invited to come through.
Didn't you just have an anniversary? I thought you already had the year anniversary. Or was that a certain month anniversary?
That was the 100th episode.
Oh, the 100th episode.
On.
Excuse me. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So this is now the 1-year anniversary.
And what is it, next week you said, Shakes?
Tuesday.
All right. We'll see. Do me a favor. You know, hit Lance and I up on Twitter next Tuesday, and we'll see what our schedule's looking like. All right, bud?
Hey, don't brush me off now. I still got a little bit to say, okay?
No,
listen.
I'm not saying body.
Yeah,
we're just taking care of the politics here.
Shakes, hold on.
But I'm going to tell you right now,
before we let you continue, if we do come on Tuesday, you know, you better keep the trivia a little bit down. You know, I don't want to be asked about things from the 1950s. I'm not Paul Dottino, okay? So, you know, just make sure that you have the right type of trivia if you do go in that direction. Anyway, the floor is now yours.
So, in other words, mostly Chicago Bulls trivia for Lance.
Exactly.
And as long as you give him some Bulls trivia, he'll be okay.
Absolutely. Bulls trivia. Okay, I got you. I'll write that down. But what I wanted to say was I like what he said about Malcolm Brown being better to him than Shelton is. And I've been saying that since I seen film on both of these guys. I think Malcolm Brown is more of a guy that wreaks havoc in the back. He penetrates like I like the defensive tackles to do.
I agree.
I'm cool. But
he's cracking himself up. This is phenomenal.
I'm gonna go off. I'm gonna lay off Coon because. Anyway, I don't like Anders Pete, and I know he's high on him. I think he's very powder puff, and y'all know me with the powder puff. That's soft, and I don't want no soft linemen. I think Beatty is soft enough for us, and he showed us some nastiness last year that I was impressed with. So I don't want no soft offensive lineman. That's why I don't like Andrews Pete.
Okay.
Shaq Thompson on the Giants. Spags will know what to do with him. So all that, we don't know where to put him. Give him the Spags. Spags will know what to do with him.
What round? 2 or 3, Shakes?
I would go 3.
Okay.
I would want him to fall to 3 because second round, I kind of want Perriman with that round. So if he fell to like 3, yeah, I'm all in with that.
Okay.
And last but not least, y'all know last year I was Team Evans, and my backup was Donald, and my backup was C.J. Mosley, and I also liked the kids, Troy Nicholas and Brian Stork.
Yep.
How many backups did you have last year?
No, Troy Nicholas and Stork were.
You listed about 5 backups.
No, but that was for like the second, third, or fourth.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to clarify.
And all those players, by the way, ended up being good football players.
Yeah, they did.
Yep.
So
Shakes, we always knew you had an eye for good talent. But anyway,
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Not a problem. I'm here to pat you on the back anytime I can.
Thank you. All right. Well, this year, I'm Team Cooper. But my guys this year are Malcolm Brown, Denzel Perriman, Shaq Thompson, and Duke Johnson. They are my favorite players in this draft.
Okay.
If we can come up with two out of that list, I'll be ecstatic.
Sounds good, Shakes.
Thanks for taking my call, y'all.
You got
appreciate it,
Shakes. And Shaq Thompson, if he can fall, I would agree with Shakes. I think he could be a tremendous value pick, given his versatility. But once again, that player makes sense in that round compared to the earlier caller who was talking about Shane Ray's a guy you need to mold, because Thompson, hey, in the third round, you grab a guy like Thompson, that's fine if you need to mold him. I think that equates to the value at that point, and that would make a lot of sense.
I agree. Once you get to that round, you get, you know what, you have so much talent, we can figure it out.
Correct.
201. 939-4513.
Real quickly, before we go back to lines, I just wanted to make sure that the audience is clear. Powder puff is now maybe his new word instead of poo-pooing.
It has surpassed poo-pooing.
Yeah, I don't know. We're curious your reaction on Twitter.
True.
Hashtag Giants chat. Let us know. Is Shakes getting over the hump with poo-pooing? Is powder puff now his new P word of the day? Anyway.
Well, I would not poo-poo powder puff.
No. Well, look at this. The alliteration is just flowing out of our mouths.
And by the way, and I believe Vic in Florida mentioned this off the top when he talked about his mock drafts. Mel Kiper does have Shaq Thompson to the Giants in their ideal draft in the third round where he picks the pick that's best for each team in each round. And Vic also mentioned, by the way, and Martin Johansson pointed this out. I forgot. I heard it too. I was going to correct him, and then I forgot. But Mike Mayock does not put out a mock draft until the day before the draft. And last year, I believe he nailed Beckham. I think he had Beckham going to the Giants last year in that mock draft right before the draft happened. So keep an eye on Mike Mayock. He knows his stuff, and he has, you know, there's a reason he doesn't put out his mock draft until the day before. He really likes to get in on who he thinks is going to go where until he puts out his one mock draft of the year. You're going to try to see if we can find that from last year?
I'm going to actually try to see if I can find his mock draft to determine.
That's top 100 prospects. That's
okay.
Not it.
Let's see if we can find it.
Yeah, well, there we go. I think it was the last one on the bottom.
It?
I think you clicked on the wrong one.
I jumped
one
the gun? All right, let's take a look. We'll figure
as Lance
it out
tries
as
to find it, I'm going to take three more calls before we say goodbye. JD in North Carolina is next. JD?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling in, JD. What's up?
So I kind of want to talk about the actual draft strategy for a second and get your guys' opinion on this.
Sure.
Depending on how your team is set up, you know, obviously season to season, you're going to have to employ different strategies during draft time. Obviously, every GM is always going to say, you know, we take the best player available. That's the default statement. That's, you know, they're always going to say that. But obviously, you can't apply that, you know, 100% all the time. So if you have a team, like I think the Giants have right now, where even though they had not the best record last year, it doesn't really seem like there's that many open spots for starters to come in. You've obviously got, you know, a hole at safety. So a rookie could come in and start at one of the safety positions. O-line, I think if you do get a guy like Sheriff or one of the elite first-round picks, that's somebody that could come in and start right away on O-line. But aside from that, I don't really think there's any other position where a rookie's going to come in and start. So that being the case, well, first of all, do you guys agree with that assessment? And second of all, that if that is true, then what kind of strategy do you think the Giants need to employ as far as what positions they're going to attack? Maybe not necessarily the individual players, because as we all know, that's almost an exercise in futility, especially, you know, trying to predict individual players late into the draft. But position-wise, where do you think the value meets the need round by round for what you think the Giants are needing right now? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks, guys.
All right, JD, appreciate the phone call. Well, JD's general point was naming some of the starters that could be associated with rookies next season, and he threw out safety. I would agree. I think there's certainly room if they draft a safety for a safety to start.
But is he going to be good enough to start, though?
Well, I mean, that's a whole other question. I think we really need to see what happens in training camp and the later OTAs to determine the upside and whether or not the skill set meets the system that Spags has laid out. But I would agree. I think safety and offensive line right now, if you were to lay out the depth chart, John, you know, that could be the two positions where a guy could be drafted and very well come in and start day one compared to some of the other positions. You're set with the defensive line as far as I'm concerned. They could draft somebody.
No, I agree.
I think they're going to get their two defensive ends and two DTs
I think you're
on
right.
the team.
I think the other starters are who they're going to be. I think there's a chance for a safety or an offensive lineman out of the draft to start if they're good enough. I don't think there's, again, who knows what injury is going to happen in camp and stuff like that. Knock on wood, hopefully none. But you're right. I think if there were two spots that I don't know who each starter is going to be, I think it would probably be the offensive line and safety.
Because right now, in terms of the depth chart, you know, you could go in a variety of different directions. JD's other question was, you know, if you went round by round, what's the best value in terms of a position? Here's the thing. When you look at the draft, and at least I'm interpreting what JD's point was, you can't go in saying we've got to get a starter every single round. You can't, because the whole point is you're going to have these players for 4 or 5 years on the rookie deal, John.
Well, you want a starter in the first three
rounds.
You
do, but you're also thinking about long-term at the same time that you can get a playmaker. He may start year two.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean it's a bad pick in
like, 2015. For example, I think this is the point you're trying to make. If the Giants get there in the second round and they see a cornerback that they think is a great, the best player left on the board by far. You know what, though? He's not going to be a starter next year because of Prince and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Then they see a safety who maybe is not close to being the same amount of player, but they go, he could start for us next year because we're, you know, maybe don't have as many guys as that position. No, you should definitely pick the corner because he's going to be the better player in the long term.
I would agree.
Absolutely.
And that has to be the rationale.
Leonard Maryland. Leonard, I haven't heard from you in a while. What's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi, Len.
How are we doing, Len?
Okay, okay. I thought we were having some phone trouble, but I just want to say off the top, I don't know who's better amongst the cast of characters, whether it's the group of hosts or whether it's the callers. I mean, the show is really informative and very entertaining.
Thank you, Len.
Not just
that.
Today. Not just today. I tell you guys, it's getting better and better.
I appreciate
better
that.
And better.
Thank you, Len. So what do you have for us?
I just wanted to comment on what your guest had to say. And I was feeling pretty good. And I'm not bragging when I say this, but, you know, remember 3 weeks ago, I'm the one who told you that Andres Pete wasn't going to get past Atlanta.
No, you did. That's true.
And I think he might get past Atlanta, but he's going to be there for the Giants if we want him. And I would be okay with that pick. I'd be all right with that pick. Sure for Pete. Either
Len,
one. And
calling...
I like the way Tony, you know, talked about Eli and the offense. That was a great 30 seconds. He just fit right in. I just wish I had, you know, been able to say that before Tony did. But, you know, surround Eli. I mean, that's the key. Staying on the offensive side of the ball, strengthen the offense, help your franchise, help Eli. It doesn't have to be a wide receiver. It can be an offensive lineman opening holes. It's not sexy, but, you know, it gets the job done. I hope they go offense, and I hope it's an offensive lineman. Hey, listen, I want to ask you a question about JPP. It's my understanding July 15th, is the date by which, if he doesn't sign the offer, that something transpires on the 15th of July. He's got to sign it by then, or when I say sign it, I mean he has to sign a long-term contract with the Giants. They have to work it out by that date. If it's not worked out by that date, then he's stuck with the one-year franchise. I'm a little concerned about JPP. I just wonder what he's got up his sleeve. What are you guys thinking? I mean, he didn't show up this first week. Showed up one day.
Well, he can't. I mean, until he has a signed contract, whether it's the franchise tender or a long-term deal, Len, he can't come here and work out with the team as per the CBA.
And remember, this period is also voluntary. Let's not forget about that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I'm gonna let you guys go because we don't have a good. We don't have a good connection, and it's probably on my end.
You sound okay to us, Len.
I want you, huh?
I said you sound okay to us. You sound loud and clear.
Okay. Okay. Well, the problem is I'm not getting you loud and clear. I really can't tell what you're saying. So
I got you.
I'll call you back next week, but great show. Keep
okay,
up
Len.
The great work,
appreciate
guys.
Thank you, Len.
Thanks
a wonderful
so much,
show.
Len.
Okay, buddy.
And I hope you have to make a physical therapy visit over the weekend so you didn't strain your shoulder trying to pat yourself on the back
about
the first part of that show.
Andres Pete, yes.
We love you, Len.
Made that very clear.
Yes.
And Tony was high on him as well.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of people like Andres Pete. Other people don't. And that's why the draft is so much fun. Everyone can have their own informed opinion based on what they've seen.
And things really heat up over the next few days.
Of course, the only people whose informed opinions really matter, much to the chagrin of one Paul Dottino, are the guys upstairs.
Correct. Yes.
You should have seen how happy it was when Justin Pugh said those nice things about Brandon Scherff yesterday at the press conference.
Oh, I'm sure Dottino was doing backflips.
He had a grin ear to ear.
Absolutely. Though some would argue that Murph, maybe his opinion counts too. Justin Pugh did lay out that he and Murph, and I'm referring to his new puppy, may take out the iPad and break down some of the other prospects.
I believe a Wheaton Terrier Poodle mix, if I'm not mistaken,
is that
he
the
said?
Type of dog? Okay, I did not hear that.
No, he said that.
He did mention that? Okay. Gotcha.
See, it's details, Lance.
Yes.
This is what I've yet to teach you, is that you need to be very cognizant of
it's
details.
It's called classifying the details, though. See, knowing the puppy and the name and whether or not he's got a Twitter handle, much more important than maybe the type of dog.
Final call of the show, I'll decide what's important, is Russell in Texas. Russell, what's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, Lanny had the only problem because I was hearing over the phone, I kept hearing something like shaky. I thought my network was bad, but
Yeah, the network kind of messed up. It's probably because of the weather or something.
Maybe.
Like
what's going on, Russ?
Yeah, I was listening to what he was saying, Andres Pete, and I totally disagree with him. Negative. No, we don't need Andres Pete. I don't think he's going to be – we don't need a project. You understand? I understand, oh, rookie's going to be a project, but we don't need a project to work on. Not at this time. We were 6-10 last year. We need something better. It's a number 9 pick. And you're right. I believe you said the 2 wide receivers going off the board. They are going to go off the board. I just looked at the mock draft. I think the Jets are going to take White. I really believe the Jets are going to take White. They need a wide receiver for Geno Smith. So that leads to Paul's man, Sheriff. I think he will be a Giant. I don't know. I'm guessing. I've been looking back and forth with this mock draft, just analyzing like which pick. It keeps falling down to Sheriff because I don't believe Shelton should be a Giant. I think he don't fit.
Russ, to me, the wild cards here are the Jets, the Bears, and the Falcons. I think I have a pretty good handle on what the first 5 teams are going to do. Even if there's a trade, I think whoever goes up to 2 will probably take the quarterback. And by the way, I still have a sinking feeling that the Bucs might end up taking Mariota. I've had that kind of feeling for a couple weeks. I said that on the air. I don't know. Something tells me that I still think there's a shot that they take Mariota 1 instead of Winston. Either way, whomever makes the picks, the 2 quarterbacks are gone first. You're going to have the 2 wide receivers off the board, Fowler and Leonard Williams. Those are going to be, in my mind, your first 6 guys gone. Who's going to be 7? Who's going to be 8? We'll find out.
Don't sleep on Eric Flowers. I'm telling y'all from Miami, that's the prize sleeper. Eric Flowers, the Giants had private workouts with him.
Yeah, but Russ, they you said you don't want a project. Eric Flowers is raw as heck. He needs to work on his technique. Now, he has all the talent in the world. He could develop into a fantastic offensive tackle. But you just said you don't want a project, and he's going to have to go through a lot of work to become what you want him to be.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For the number 9 pick, you got to get a project, and your mind's going to trade down. But I just got a feeling Sheriff's going to land in the Giants' hands. He looks like a Giant. They make the running game possible. If they do get White, I mean, I would be happy with it be a dominant offense, but I don't think that's a type of, you know, win Super Bowls, win playoffs, because you still need an offensive line. I just want them to protect Eli because he got a contract extension.
Thank you, Russ.
All right, Russ.
Appreciate it, man. All right, good job on the phones, everybody. Thank you to Tony Pauline for joining us from DraftInsiders.net. He did a fantastic job. We thank him for joining us next week. It'll be me and you Monday or me and you Tuesday?
We are Monday.
So we're Monday, me and Dottino are Tuesday. Then you get Lance and Dottino Wednesday and Thursday, and then I come back and I'll host with Lance on Friday, barring any flight delays on Friday afternoon. We'll have Dottino on guard. I think he might sleep here Thursday night anyway. He'll be here to sub for me, no worries. But we have a draft expert on every day next week. I think maybe you guys will do a Giant beat guy on Thursday to try to narrow it down. Maybe we'll try to get a draft guy on too. But it'll be a busy week. Make sure you stay tuned to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Maybe we'll extend the shows a little bit, we talked about. Maybe get into an hour and a half or 2 hours, depending on the day. We should have a lot to talk about. It should be a lot of fun as we're finally getting down to the final few days, less than a week until the 2015 NFL Draft. Got anything else?
I really don't have much to add. Although I will say that before,
much like the entire show,
before you say we're going to extend the show, there are some contractual issues that need to be worked out. So before you make these bold predictions out,
you're
going to add another 30 to 45 minutes to the show. We need to speak to each other's people to make sure that's clear.
You'll have to make sure you bring me 2 water bottles for those shows instead of 1.
Yeah, see, that clause needs to be worked out. I wasn't specific in terms of the type of clause. All I said is it needs to be worked out.
All right.
That's all.
For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next week on Giants.com. Enjoy your weekend, everybody, as the NFL Draft fast approaches.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Well, he gets no punt. Well, he intercepted.
Touchdown.